Dear brethren, God bless you. We are here today with Brother Joseph, and we would like to ask him some important questions about the financial crisis that's all over the world today. Brother Joseph, God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Amen. God bless you.
Before asking you some questions about the financial crisis, I would like to ask you some personal questions.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, try.
I know you have been a missionary and an evangelist for 37 years. And you have 6 children. And I also know you have been living by faith all these years without a salary. Can you tell us how do you make it, especially now in this financial crisis? There are families who have only one child and salaries and they don't make it. How do you make it?
That's something I wonder too. I guess our God must be real. Praise the Lord. Well, it's impossible to make it. You just have to have Jesus. Because in the New Testament, there are promises in Matthew chapter 6 that God will provide all our needs. Jesus said, don't worry about your food, what you drink, what you eat, how you dress. Look at the flowers, look at the birds. And you say this to people, they say, okay, I'm looking at the birds, but I still don't get clothes. Okay, I'm looking at the flowers, I'm looking at the birds, but I still don't get food. What do I do? I cannot go to a gas station, fill my car and say, I'm looking at the birds and drive away. You know, the guy probably will chase you with a stick or something. So listen, if you don't believe me, you can try, you know. So how do I make it? Well, you see, it's Jesus. Basically, he's seeking first the kingdom of God. The chapter I gave you, Matthew 6, verse 33. Says, seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. You see, like my testimony, my life, and my story, is like it's a proof that God exists. You understand? So we know that God provides our needs. I discovered just, I made a decision 37 years ago to live and die for Jesus and live for him until I die and beyond for eternity. And because I'm working for God's interest, then God does my interest. Like if I need food, if I need clothes, if I need a car. Like I remember I was 2.5 years in India on mission. I came back and didn't have a car for months and months walking around. So when they praise God, I need a car. I don't like cars. I don't like society, modern society with traffic and chaos. But I need it. I'm stuck. So the Lord said, okay, just ask and I shall receive. I said, Lord, who do I ask? The Lord said, just ask. So because I was evangelizing in the streets, I was distributing gospel literature, I went to some shops, and I just went in a shop and asked for a car. I said, the guy was selling car in the shop, so I said...
And he gave it to you?
They gave it to me. So when the guy was sitting behind the table, and I yelled, it was like some 25 meters away, I said, do you have a missionary car? And the guy said, do I have what? Missionary car. The guy couldn't understand what we're talking about. That's a brand he never knew, never heard. So he said, come here, sit down. So when they sit down, I showed him some photos and pictures by my work in India. So that's wonderful, good. So you want to buy a car? I said, no, I need a missionary car. I said, we don't have missionary cars. We have Ford, Fiat, Mercedes. I said, no, but what's a missionary car? I said, if missionary car is for free. So look in the Bible. It says, go in Matthew chapter 10, go in a city, investigate who is worthy, there abide until we depart. Don't worry about, don't take gold, don't take silver. I said, you can check my pockets, there will be no gold and no silver, maybe just a... The guy said, let me phone a friend. He phoned a friend. He liked me, he liked my mission. He saw that by the picture and the photos and everything. He saw that I was a real bona fide missionary. So he said, let me phone a friend. He phoned a friend, I'm sending to you a missionary. So he sent me there. When they explained the same story, the guy took me to a basement. There were some 40, 50 cars. They choose one. Just like that. I said, it doesn't matter the fancy model. I just need something strong. I remember he gave me this strong Citroen. And he ended up, the guy gave me like 4 cars, one after the other. With this Citroen, I went in 1989. It was 1991. I went to in Serbia with another two group of missionaries with 2 vehicles. And I was sleeping in the car. They had a camper. And that's it. Anyway, end of this. I don't want to make this long. But since then, God provided. You know, if I needed food, I have 6 children. You can look at my children. They all have shoes. They all have nice clothes. I mean, not fancy. But God provides everything we need.
Amen. Inspiring. Thank
all
you,
right.
Jesus.
So the conclusion is, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Today, many Christians are complaining that they cannot reach the end of the month, the salary is never enough, they don't have enough money for a better car, a better apartment. It's because we, sometimes, are not seeking the kingdom of God first. And so, if we seek the world first, the world will not take care of us. If we seek Jesus, miraculously, God will provide. God does miracles, which I would have many, many miracles to tell you how God provides financially. It's not because Jewish people good hearts or because a coincidence. God promised in the Bible to provide, and he does provide. That's my testimony. It's a proof that God exists. 37 years, I never one time 37 years, I skipped a breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I never made any debts by God's grace. I never borrowed money. And God provided. And we don't have too much, we don't have too little. Thank you, Lord. I hope that answers your question.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now about our subject, about the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. The first question I would like to ask you is, where is this financial crisis leading to? And when do you think it will end?
Well, where is it leading to? I believe it's going to lead to the mark of the beast, personally. When is it end? It will never end. So for my Bible prophecies, my Bible prophesies. In fact, there is a financial crisis. It was prophesied because, as we know, as the most the main Bible teachers in the world, the main Bible scholars, they all agree we are in the end time. Okay, the disciple asked Jesus, Matthew 24, verse 3, when is the end of the world? When do you come back? And Jesus, Matthew 24, and also the chapter, Luke 21, etc. Jesus gave a bunch of signs of the end of the world, when the kingdom of God was going to start, when he was going to come back with the rapture, begin the kingdom of God. And he gave a bunch of signs. One of the signs was famines, verse 7. And Jesus said, let me find it for you. Matthew 24. Yes, verse 7. Here it is. Say, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. So one of the signs of the end time is famines. So financial crisis is a famine. It's a famine of money. People cannot buy food. All right? And it was actually prophesied in the chapter of the Antichrist, which is Daniel 11, from verse 21 until 45, is the career of the Antichrist. You can see, because it's a parallel with the tribulation of Revelation chapter 8 and 9, Revelation 13, Revelation 11, 12, also 17, and Daniel 11. They're all together. Ezekiel 38, 39, they're all together. So the same paragraph. It's the career of the Antichrist, how he ascends to world power with tricks and deceits and all kinds of stuff. And he gets power. Like, I believe the attack to the Manhattan Twin Towers and 9/11 was a trick of the Antichrist to take away the freedom of America. And progressively, they're going to take it away all over the world, because I expect there's going to be more terroristic attack all over the world. I believe the devil is going to plant atomic bombs and blow up whole cities, so that the people of the world, like a silly sheep, they'll be willing to let the devil lead them. To the masses of the world are going to allow the devil to lead them through false flag wars, false flags, terrorist attack. What's a false flag? When you give the impression, you make people believe that a certain act, a terroristic attack, a certain war, a certain sabotage, it was done by certain people, when instead it was the other people. Like the Americans started the war in Vietnam by a false flag provocation, the famous provocation, the Tonkin Sea. In the Tonkin Sea next to Vietnam, the American pretended that the Vietnamese attacked an American ship. Instead, it was just a false flag. And et cetera, et cetera. Like Hitler, he pretended like that the communists burned out the Reichstag in Germany so he could take away the freedom from the Germans. Instead, it turned out it was the Nazi who burned out the Reichstag. That's the German parliament. So I expect soon, to answer your question, that this financial crisis to explode in a total collapse. And I'm going to give you a scripture now. Okay, which will show that this was prophesied. Like I told you before, Daniel 11, from 21 to 45, it's all about the Antichrist. It starts from verse 21. Now, the verse before 21, verse 20, it depicts, it shows exactly the situation of today. And it's a financial situation. Look, let me read it to you. Daniel 11, 20. They shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom. In other, this means taxes, the glorious kingdom, it means also the kingdom of the world. That just means Israel, also means the kingdom of the world, because here he's talking about when Daniel was under the kingdom of Cyrus. You see, Daniel 10 verse 1, Cyrus of Persia was in charge of the whole world. So when Daniel says the whole kingdom, the angel tells Daniel like that, it means the kingdom of the world. So all over the world there is a raiser of taxes, okay? So one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, the word for taxes here is Nagash, a Hebrew word which means a financial oppressor. But within a few days, it shall be destroyed, not in anger, not in battle. So nobody is going to want to destroy this raiser of taxes, which is not a person, it's a system. So nobody wants to destroy, so not in anger. It's not going to be a war, not in battle. So what is this? First of all, it's not a guy. It's a system. Like Babylon, the horror, Revelation 17, is not a woman, it's a spirit of materialism. And so this, I believe, because it's just because the Antichrist, next scripture, so after the raiser of taxes collapses, not in anger, not in battle, verse 21, it says, in his place shall arise a vile person. And that talks about the Antichrist. So the Antichrist cannot rise if first there is no financial collapse. Now everybody agrees we are in the end time. So this is not just a little financial crisis. This, everybody can tell you, is the biggest crisis, much, much bigger than the financial crisis that hit the world in 1929 that destroyed the financial system of the world. This is much bigger. Because a lot of the nation those days, they were still basing their finances on the gold. And now that's zero. Now they're based on the computer. Now they're based on the debts. They're based on the paper money. Now it's really, the financial system of the world is really based on a cloud. Okay, and who decides that this financial crisis collapses? Is the big money people.
You said that the raiser of taxes is Nagash. What is Nagash in today? I mean, what does it have to do with the financial crisis?
Well, Nagash today, called the raiser of taxes in the Bible, like in other Bibles, called the financial oppressor, but it means the same thing. So this is basically, it's the international bank. It's like when you pay the taxes, like you can ask anybody, in most countries of the world, okay, people work 6 months to pay taxes and 6 months to survive, which they can hardly survive because they can hardly reach the end of the month. All right, like you said, a family with two salaries and one or two children, they don't make it. All right? So basically, people don't understand that when they pay the taxes, they don't really pay to the government. They don't pay to the government the taxes. All right? They pay the taxes to the international banking because the government is indebted up to their ears in taxes, in debts.
So you're saying Nagash is the international banking?
Nagash is international banking. It's a raiser of taxes. So who's raising taxes today all over the world? The banking. The government are not collecting taxes. The government are borrowing amount of money from international banking to such a quantity that they can never, never, never pay back, even if they wanted to. So the government is collecting money through all kinds of taxes. You go drink a cup of coffee, you pay the tax. You go buy a pair of pants, there are taxes. You go to buy fuel for your car, half of the price is on tax. It doesn't go to the government. Okay, because you go on pension and they give you nothing because now you have to be 60, 65, and 67 years old before you get a pension. In other words, they want to give you the pension after you're dead. They just want to pay for your coffin and that's it. I mean, after you work your whole life for 30, 40, 50 years to pay, and you pay taxes and a lot of taxes, like 50% of your salary, especially for your pension. Now there is your pension to 65 and 67 years. Soon they're going to, my goodness, soon you go in pension after you have a foot in the coffin and the other on the banana peel. And they say, okay, now you're going to go in pension. Now, boom, they kick you so you can sleep in and close the lid. Okay, that's the system of today. I mean, you talk about mafia. Mafia, those guys are almost good people, almost, compared to what's going on today. I mean, causing whole countries, hundreds of millions of people in poor countries, die of starvation. Okay, because they lend money to the corrupt government who siphon, who steal half of it and put it in Switzerland, whatever is left, they They make weapons and the people get nothing. And the result is that hundreds of millions have been dying of starvation for more than 50 years now. And the banks are not stupid. They go to school for 30, 40 years to learn how to steal, to learn how to do finances. You understand? And they know that this government cannot pay. See, people don't understand that it's like these banks are not lending money. They are buying slaves. If you read the Babylon, the prostitute, the Revelation 17 and 18, it says that in her, Babylon, okay, which is the spirit of materialism worldwide, centered in America today. Yesterday was another country, the day before another country. Through the centuries, whatever the center of money was, there was in the Babylon. Today is capitalism. It happens to be in America. It could be England. It was England yesterday. So that's what's happening. It's like these people are just... Babylon is shown as a prostitute drinking blood. That's exactly what's happening. Okay, and not only that, but not only international bank lends money to the point that they're just buying slaves. They're not lending money, they're buying slaves. And it was in the newspaper, I have an article that IMF, international banking, not only does not help the country that they bankrupted, parenthesis, purposely. But now, I can show you articles. The IMF is putting pressure on the nations so that they will stop giving financial donations to the country who are starving. Do you understand? Is that IMF is complaining that the countries are giving donations in the form of food and medicine to the starving countries. Because it's a plan of the devil to cut down the world population. And there are testimonies about this. They want to cut it down to 95%. 90%. They want 500 million people left in the world. I can give you a newspaper article. These satanic sects who control the banks, who control the money, they want to cut down the population. And through abortions, and through AIDS. AIDS is something that they created artificially. AIDS doesn't exist in nature. It was not a green monkey. Forget the green, but there is no green monkey who has AIDS. Okay, it was produced in the laboratory. I mean, I have documents, I have an article in newspapers I can send to you. There was some section of the UN who asked the doctors to experiment about mutation, genes that mutate, virus that mutate, that change up and down. You can never kill them because they change all the time. It took them years, so finally discovered it, that they unleashed it, just like computer viruses. I mean, it's known that the computer viruses are made by the companies who make the antiviruses. I would like now to give some practical examples of how the international banking controls the government of the world. The banks, they condition their lending on the governments to cut salaries or to freeze salaries, and they stop giving medicines for free or at prices which the poor people cannot afford. They cut pensions and they raise the age for the pensions. So these are all conditions and many others which the banks requires. They also want to, they ask the governments to stop subsidizing, giving money to the farmers, for example, when they're in trouble. They forbid that, but they require that the governments open the borders to multinationals. So the farmers, the local people, cannot afford to buy the local production of fruits or whatever because the multinationals bring it in for cheaper. And this bankrupts the local farmers. And that's why you see in countries that these multinational, these big commercial centers, they move in, bankrupting all the little shops. In Haiti, for example, they had a law that if the inflation went over 10%, by law, they have to raise the salaries. The banks required to take that away. So now the inflation is as high as they want, but they cannot raise the salaries because the banks are asking to take that away. In many countries, is well known how their finances have collapsed nationwide because after they accepted the terrible conditions in the international banking. Also, these international bankings are like they are secret organizations. There is no democracy. They have no accountability. No governments can control them. So this is called a dictatorial majority. So about 60-70% of the money deposit in this international bank, it belongs to the rich countries. So when they vote, it's always in favor of the multinationals and against the poor countries. And that's why the rich become richer and the poor become more and more poor. So that's the sad tale of the puppeteers of the world. That's how they control the world. It's not a military government, it's a financial government. And the solution, don't borrow money. The Bible forbids to borrow money. The Bible says the borrower is slave of the lender. And we need to really leave what we have, tighten the belt. If you cannot buy meat, beef, buy chicken. Don't buy chicken, buy vegetables. Do whatever you want, but don't borrow. You become a slave. Amen.
Do you have any address of these documents you told us?
Yeah, you can find this all over the internet. I have one here, for example, is www.globalexchange.org/campaigns/WBIMF/top10IMF.html.
Question, the simple people working in the banks, are they part of this plot?
You mean you go to the bank and the little girl working behind the desk? Of course, no. Those people, they're just like everybody. Yes, it's not the little director in the bank around the corner. I'm talking about the, you know, the devil said to Jesus, Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the devil said to Jesus, this word has been given to me and I give it to whoever I want. Worship me and I give it to you. So anybody works with the devil gets the best thing in the world, gets to be a big shot politically, financially. So the devil doesn't have to control an international bank that maybe has 50,000 people, 100,000 people working in it. He only has to control one guy, the president. That's how it works.
And what's their goal?
The devil.
What's
Satan.
Their goal? Of this financial crisis.
The devil said to Jesus, worship me and I give you the world. The world is, I'm talking about the rulers of the world, okay? The goal is that they want to control the world. So now this financial crisis is provoked. Look, it's like they want to introduce the mark of the beast. And if you read the Revelation 13 from verse 15 until 18, it talks about the beast, the Antichrist, who will implement the mark of the beast, 666. Anybody who doesn't receive it cannot buy, cannot sell. That is the new financial system coming. The devil is going to provoke. The time is not mature yet. One thing, because God is stopping the Antichrist. God is stopping the devil. Finally, it's God that decides when the devil can do this or not. So when the time comes, the God will have to allow the Antichrist and the devil to cover the world, and that will have to be because of the sins of the church, because the church is not evangelizing, because the church had evangelized, the Christians don't need to change the world. They cannot change the world politically. Okay, what?
In fact, that was a question I wanted to ask you. What are we supposed to do as God's people? Fight politically, do revolution, manifest on the streets? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, go manifest in the street like Karl Marx and Lenin and Stalin. No, I don't reach any. I even know Christian pastors from church who are forsaking the church to go be a politician. That's not the way. I mean, pray that God will have a Christian politician. But the Christian politician is not by taking a pastor from a church to put him there in a parliament full of antichrist that they don't let you do anything. We need more churches and more pastors who evangelize in the streets and not just preach to the walls and to the paintings and to the statues and to the crosses inside a building called a religious building. We need the Christians who go like Jesus in the streets and evangelize every person until eventually most of the people that go to the parliament are Christians. They will make the laws. But don't trust in politics to change the world. Don't trust in politics to change and evangelize and change the world to bring a Christianity in the world, which is the job of the churches and the Christians, and not the job of the politicians. The politicians never change the world. Even if you have a perfect system like they have in Scandinavia, in Austria, in Switzerland, look at that. They're just antichrist and saved. They're just going to hell like in everywhere else. Yeah, you go to Austria, Switzerland, the system works perfectly, but they're not saved. They're still going to hell. So the politicians can only make political laws, but only Christian preach the gospel can go to the root, and that is giving salvation to the people. Okay, so politics is not going to work. What's going to change the world is Jesus, like the early church. Evangelize the world for 300 years until every 20% of the people in the world were professing to be Christians. And the kingdom of the Antichrist, the Roman Empire, collapsed. So The answer is to hit the streets and bring the gospel out of religious buildings. We should be tired of preaching to the walls, repeating the gospel to people who have been sitting there for 10 years and 50 years. You should go preach the gospel to people who never heard. People are going to hell. People who aren't saved. We should do like Jesus. The strategy that Christianity is using today is a strategy of warming up the church bench and not evangelizing. That is wrong. The right strategies is like Jesus. Go to the streets, go to every house and preach the gospel to the people who don't have the gospel. But today, Christianity went to sleep. They are preaching the gospel only to people who already believe in the gospel. Anything else?
Yes. Daniel 11:20, you said that this Nagash raiser of taxes, which is the international banker, will be destroyed, not in anger, in a short time. What does that mean? And why do they purposely try to destroy their own system?
Well, it will be destroyed, not in anger, not in battle, in a few days, because it's the financial collapse. See, they are purposely trying to collapse the system, so eventually the people will be forced to accept the mark of the beast that they cannot buy, they cannot sell. See, this financial crisis eventually will collapse completely when God allows it. They are trying. Look, in September, in the middle of September of last year, 2009, there was a financial crisis. What happened? There was a rush on the bank in America that the Federal Reserve in America had to stop it. And they interviewed on the TV the president of capital market in America. His name was Paul Kanjorski or something like that. And he said that he said on TV, I even have the video, he said that on the 15th September 2009, there was a rush on the banks so that in just 1 hour, okay, they tried to collect so much money that it was making the system to collapse. The Federal Reserve have to intervene, and they have to present, they have to give immediately into the system some $100 billion for the people that were running the bank to get the money out. So they realized in a few hours that the way it was going, they calculated the same day they would have let the market open. In 1 day, the people would have collected about $5 trillion. Everybody ran the bank, so they closed the banks, and instead of giving money, they were giving guarantee. So people stopped; they couldn't do even what they wanted. All right, and if they wouldn't have closed the banks, this man, the Paul Kanjorski, said the complete financial system of America would have collapsed, and after that, the whole world, they stopped it. Do you understand? The financial system of the world is sitting on a soap bubble. So, knowing that from whatever aspect you look at the Bible, God's word, warns us that this world is going to just go from worse to worse. How much are we supposed to worry? Remember how we started? That don't worry about the food, dressing, look at the birds, look at the flowers. So how much are we supposed to worry knowing how bad this world is going to be? The following scriptures give us an idea how much we're supposed to worry. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures, no devils, in other words, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So how much are we supposed to worry? Exactly zero. Look, even if like the friends of Daniel end up in a furnace of fire or whatever, Jesus is going to be there. And no matter how much a martyr will suffer, is nothing compared to the devil and his people going to suffer in hell. We have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the promises of the Bible, we have our Savior, our King and Bridegroom. We have all the reason to look up to heaven and no reason to look to the negative. We have in us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit represents that we have in our hearts a representation, a token of the whole kingdom of God. The whole kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to worry. So we can just look to Jesus. We can love Jesus. We can trust Jesus. Let's take our eyes off the world. Let's not worry. Don't pray for the financial system to get better. Just let it sink. Let the Titanic go down. I'm talking about the bad Titanic, you know, the good one. So, in Jesus' name, love Jesus, follow Jesus, preach Jesus, and all will go in place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you. God bless you.